An excellent source of technology information for blind people is Dean Martineau of Top Dot Enterprises' Sound Computing magazine. For some time, Dean has made an article from Sound Computing available free on the web to anyone who wishes to hear it at www.soundcomputing.com. However, Dean has now decided to make an article each month from Sound Computing available to us on Main Menu, and we certainly look forward to many months and years of collaboration between Sound Computing and Main Menu. And the first of these articles is one on shortcuts in Windows. Here's Dean Martineau.
Beyond the basics of shortcut keys. Not everybody has the sort of memory that makes it a pleasure to know that, for example, Alt-Control-T starts some program and Alt-Control-2 launches some website. But for those of us who do, shortcut keys are a great bounty. They make Windows work faster and make us more efficient. There's a lot of power in shortcut keys that you may not necessarily know about, and there's especially a lot of power provided by two additional tools that are free that I'm going to show you here. I happen to obviously be somebody who loves shortcut keys, so I may communicate some of that little passion to you, but I don't know that for a fact. I'm going to explain first a little system that I had to work out because I had a problem, and I'm not the only one who's had this problem, and there really wasn't a solution that I ever found. That is that for a while, my shortcut keys to launch programs wouldn't work. They showed up. I could look at them in the properties for every one of the shortcuts, but try as I might, the shortcut keys that I had configured didn't work. The only solution I found to this problem was when I inadvertently solved it by installing Internet Explorer 5.5. Well, all of a sudden, all my shortcut keys are back, and it's quite nice to have them. But while I didn't have them, I did something else. You know, of course, that you can launch programs from the desktop. If you use JAWS, you've probably been told to use Insert F6 to clear off everything that's on the display and get to a clear view of the desktop so you can launch your programs. You don't actually have to use Insert F6, and I find the keystroke combination Windows key, you know, the Start menu key, Windows key M to be much more efficient. Another one that works almost as well is Windows key D. Whatever tool you use to get there, you go to the desktop, and then by hitting the first letter of the name of the program, the name of the icon on the desktop, you can jump to that and hit Enter to launch it. You can launch programs, files, folders, web addresses this way. Well, since I didn't have access to my shortcut keys anymore, I started renaming these desktop icons, which you can do when you highlight it by hitting Function Key F2 and simply typing in a new name or editing the old one. And I made sure that all my program icons that I cared about on the desktop started with a different character. This could be a letter, it could be a number, or it could be a punctuation mark. I mention this because you're going to hear some of these desktop icons, and they're going to sound kind of strange. You're going to hear comma, note tab, pro. That's because I had something else that I want starting with an N, so I wanted to be able to launch Note Tab Pro quickly, so I put a comma in front of the N. This way, when I wanted to start Note Tab, all I had to do was hit Windows key M, a comma, and Enter. And frequently, JAWS would still be babbling the name of the program while Windows was in the process of loading it. Doesn't take that long. Of course, this was really pretty much unnecessary. If I hadn't done this, all I would have had to do was keep hitting N while I had the desktop cleared off until I heard Note Tab and then hit Enter. But of course, I want to make it a little faster than that, so I renamed it so that I only had to hit one keystroke. I mention this both because it shows you what I did to get around the problem, because you may have it. I've had at least one person write to me, and I've heard of other people on lists that have had the problem I had. And since nobody seems to know how to solve it once it happens, short of what I did, you can get around it with this desktop trick. It means that you have to use three keys to launch programs instead of one, but it all happens pretty quickly. All right, with that little bit of background in mind, now that I do have my shortcut keys, I'm not going to teach you the absolute basics of how to set up shortcut keys. At least I'm not exactly going to teach you that in a traditional way. For that, you'll have to wait for, you can either get the Windows 98 tutorial I already have, but I'm going to take this opportunity to mention the one I'm going to produce next month, which is going to be a much larger Windows 98 and Millennium tutorial, and it will cover both the programs that come with Windows 98 and Millennium and a lot of other ones as well that I found to be useful add-ons that a lot of us like to use but nobody's really taught. So there'll be some information about GoldWave, there'll be some information about NoteTab, and some other things as well. And also, I suspect the rest of this article may appear in that tutorial as well. But anyway, while I'm not exactly teaching you the basics of shortcuts, what I'm going to tell you is going to accomplish almost all of that, and it's going to accomplish it better than the usual Windows 98 procedures. There are several tools out there, pretty much all free, at least I can't see paying for one, that allow you to manage your shortcut keys. Of these, I haven't tried too many, because I found one that I like so well that I haven't had any reason to, and this one happens to be one called Shortcuts Map. It's a very simple program with a very clear interface. Both WindowEyes and JAWS have some annoyances with it, but those annoyances are just that, annoyances. They don't really limit any kind of functionality of the program. I have Shortcuts Map open now, and I'm going to Alt-Tab into it.
Shortcuts Map.
There we go. From GoldWave, from the recording program, where I have to start the recording each time. Shortcuts Map doesn't need a menu bar. It's just simply a list of shortcuts, and then you can tab into different alternatives. The list, by default, shows you first all your desktop shortcuts, then shows you all the shortcuts located off the Start menu. These are the only shortcuts which you can, in Windows, create shortcut keys for, if the shortcut is located off the desktop or the Start menu. So I can begin here, and you'll notice, as I arrow down through this list, that when a shortcut has a shortcut key assigned to it, that shortcut key is red. Very simple. So, for example, let me just down arrow here.
Attach desktop.
That's my attachments folder for Eudora, and located on the desktop.
FTP Explorer desktop. Creator 32. X desk. GoldWave desktop. 3.1 floppy A desktop.
Notice I have a shortcut on the desktop to my 3.5-inch floppy drive. When I want to paste something into a floppy, all I have to do is hit my Windows key M combination to get to the desktop, a 3, because that's what 3.5-inch floppy A starts with, and enter, and I open up my floppy drive.
Write-ins, desktop.
Another folder.
WinKey, desktop.
We'll talk about WinKey in a little while.
Copernic 2000, desktop, Control-Alt-C.
There we go, we finally have something that has a shortcut key assigned to it, Copernic, and Control-Alt-C is what's listed. Now, we'll continue on this list a little bit longer.
WinWord, desktop, Control-Alt-W.
I changed... The WindowEyes comes with that as a shortcut key, but I didn't like that, so I reassigned it to for WinWord, and I made WindowEyes start with something else.
Real Producer G2, desktop.
All right, let's stop here, and Real Producer is what you can use and ordinarily would use to create real media, like real audio files, although SoundForge is apparently better at it. Let's say I want to create a shortcut key to launch this program so that I can hit Control Alt and something or other in order to launch it. Let's look at the rest of the interface for Shortcuts Map, because, like I say, it's pretty simple. We tab once.
Refresh button.
This is how, if you play with the display or create a shortcut key and you want to have the display up to date, you hit the space bar here on the refresh button, and the display will be current. Tab again.
Change button.
Here's how you would edit the shortcut key or add one, because this particular item did not have a shortcut key. I'll hit the space bar when I'm in it after we've gone through this display, and I'll give it a shortcut key, and you'll see why I say that this is simpler than the Windows interface. Tab again.
Options button.
The massive options dialog box, which contains a total of one option, we'll look at that here in a little while.
About button.
A little information about the program.
Homepage button.
The home page for the program, which I will give you momentarily here.
Close button.
We close it.
Real Producer G2.
And I'm back on the list. So that's the sum total of the interface you have with Shortcuts Map. Doesn't need any more than that. Let's tab a couple times.
Refresh button. Change button.
And
C.
JAWS informs me that if I wanted to, I could have hit Alt-C and open this little dialog box right up. So I'll hit the space bar.
Real Producer G2 Properties Dialog, Shortcut Page, Target.
Now, here's the beauty of this. We are now landed in exactly the same place we would be under Windows if we'd hit Alt-Enter on the shortcut. We're landed in the Shortcut Properties. So it's just a sort of another way of getting to the same place. Now, if you don't know the Shortcut Properties, this is where you can edit a couple of details about the shortcut, view some of the details, most of the things you don't need to change too often, but you can. The first thing in here is, what's the name of the shortcut?
Started. Edit.
The next thing I just tabbed, Startian. That's sometimes is important to have a working folder for the shortcut, like although you can have this in a word processor sometimes, but where your files are going to end up, it just depends on the shortcut. I haven't usually found this to be necessary. Now we'll tab once more.
Shortcut key, hotkey none.
Here's where you would edit the shortcut key. The default Windows behavior is going to be to put Control-Alt before this. You can make these shortcut keys with other key combinations. I don't recommend it. You can use Alt-Shift or Control-Alt-Shift, or you can use Control-Shift. The reason I don't recommend it, especially in the case of Control-Shift and Alt-Shift to a lesser degree, is that other Windows programs tend to use those for shortcut keys within the program. Once you assign a shortcut key to launch a program in Windows, that takes precedence over every other use of that shortcut key. And so there needs to be a system to your shortcut key use, and I'm going to have a few words to say about that in a moment here. All right. Let us say that I want to have Control-Alt-Semicolon be the key I want to use to launch Real Producer. For some reason, that works for me, and I've already got Control-Alt-R assigned to something else, perhaps. And so anyway, that's just because that shows you that you can use punctuation marks, you can use numbers, all kinds of things with these shortcuts. Since Control-Alt is the behavior in Windows, all I need to do is hit the semicolon.
Run, combo box, normal window.
Now I just tabbed once, because then I'm going to shift tab in a minute. But while I'm here in the run list, we have three choices for how this program should run. As blind folks, we almost always want our programs to run maximized, unless it's a screen reader or something that's just running in the background, at which point we want it to run minimized. We almost never have things running in the normal window. Editing the shortcut properties, either through Shortcuts Map or just through doing it in Windows by going into the shortcut properties with Alt-Enter when you're pointing at a shortcut, makes this process easier. I'm going to down arrow.
Minimize. Maximize.
I could have done this with a key, but this is easier. Now, when I launched this shortcut to run Real Producer, if I wanted to make a real audio file, and this is what I used to use to make the real audio files for sound computing, when I run that shortcut, the program will automatically be maximized, which gives it the best chance of being the most usable with the screen reader. All right, now I want to shift tab back to the shortcut key place, and you'll see that the shortcut key is in there.
Shortcut key, hotkey, Control-Alt, semicolon.
There we go. It's already in there because I just hit the semicolon. Windows added Control-Alt. We're done with this. I'm going to hit Enter because the other things in here you don't need to use. And this will close the dialog, and now my shortcut will be in Windows and usable.
Shortcuts Map, Change button.
Now I'm back in Shortcuts Map on the Change button. So I don't want to change this again. But let's tab once.
Options button.
To look at the massive Options dialog box in Shortcuts Map, the smallest Options dialog box I've ever seen. Set the space bar to open this one.
Options, OK button.
And we land on the OK button, we tab a couple times.
Cancel button. Read icons when loading shortcuts, checkbox not checked.
Now, I haven't figured out what this actually does. If you have read icons when loading checked, it takes a long time for the program to load. I haven't noticed any difference in functionality when I turned it off, so I have it unchecked. That's the only option you have in the program. And as I say, I haven't seen any reason, so the default behavior is to have it checked, but I'm finding it to be worthwhile to have it unchecked. We can close this dialog now with Enter.
Shortcuts Mac, Options button, About button, Real Producer.
And I tabbed around, I'm back on the list. Let me
Windward,
up arrow.
Real Producer G2, Desktop, Control-Alt, Semicolon.
And I didn't have to refresh the view because it showed that shortcut that I've created in the list. Now, another fun thing you can do, which is a little bit more complicated, you have to be a little better with your Windows cursor and JAWS cursor than this. You can change how the display looks. As I said, the default behavior is for the program to show you first your desktop shortcuts, then all your start menu shortcuts. However, you can change this behavior. We'll use WindowEyes to show you this. And now that I had to go back into Goldwave, let me Alt-Tab back over here.
Shortcuts Map. Short.
Now we're back in Shortcuts Map. And what we're going to find is that by using either the JAWS cursor and the left mouse button, or the mouse cursor with WindowEyes and the left mouse button, we can change the order of things in the display and change just what's first and what's where. So let's come up here.
Dot right. R equals objects attached desktop objects position, refresh.
Okay, let me take this out. All right, now I've got on the right line. Let me insert right arrow.
Objects, position, graphic. Point 100, shortcut, key.
So what we have is these different headers. Now, if we were, for example, to click on the key, on this word key right here with the left mouse button.
Left arrow.
Looking at the list now, we're going to see that if I go to the top with control home.
Attach. F3PX. Creature 32.x. Gold wave. Death 3 floppy A.
I have all my desktop icons on top. But if I go to the bottom of the list, control end.
Windows Explorer. Windows Explorer. Windows Explorer. Windward. Desktop. Control Alt W. Windows Explorer. Start menu programs. Control Alt X. Windows.
I've got a little trouble with this, and this actually highlights one of the problems I have. So I'll tell you the frustrations that both screen readers have with this program. JAWS, cleverly, when you get down below the desktop list and you start getting into the start menu list, reads both as if it's a two-column display. So it'll read a desktop icon, and then it'll read the one that's currently highlighted. Once you know this is going to do this, you can just reach over and read the current line, and you'll hear the correct thing, or you can just kind of ignore part of what you're hearing as you're arrowing through the list, and it's okay. WindowEyes just sort of reads everything about three times, and that's what it just did here when I went down to the Windows Explorer shortcut. In fact, it was read it so often that it didn't read the shortcut key until the second time through. In fact, what's happened since I reorganized the list is that the shortcuts that have keys assigned to them are now at the bottom of the list. So Windows Explorer is Control-Alt-X on my system, although there's also a way to start that with the Win key, and we'll get to that in a minute. And WinWord is Control-Alt-W. We'd already heard that.
WinWord. HP Pavilion Support ID. Starts menu programs accessory assist. Control-Alt-S. HP.
I'm so excited to know that. I didn't even know that one myself. That's something that the system, this little Hewlett-Packard computer, set up for me. I've experimented around some with this facility to mess with the display, and I'm not totally successful with it. Maybe you'll have better success at left clicking on some of the headings. I don't always get the results that I want to get, but you can change the order and you can change what's the priority of the display, whether it be alphabetical to some degree, also whether you have the items sorted so that those that have shortcut keys assigned to them appear at the top or the bottom of the list. There are some drawbacks with this program. It's not perfect. Those little display items I mentioned are annoying, but there are some things it doesn't do. If you have created a shortcut key for a web page, which is kind of cool, and I'm going to mention this a little while here, so that you can hit one key and it launches one of your favorite web pages, and you've put that has to be on the desktop, of course, or the start menu, those won't show up in Shortcuts Map. So, and also it doesn't show up shortcuts to DOS batch files. I have a shortcut to Megadots on my desktop. Megadots is a DOS Braille translator program, launched in this case by a batch file which has a shortcut key, Control-Alt-M. I don't see that listed in Shortcuts Map. Other than that, though, Shortcuts Map itself is a great tool, one that I will use all the time now for my shortcuts instead of messing with the Windows Explorer going into properties. This shortcuts all that and, as it were, circumvents all that and makes me a nice systematic list. If you try to assign a shortcut through Shortcuts Map to something that's already got a shortcut, it'll tell you that as well. Now, there is a problem with the whole Control-Alt-Shortcut key thing in Windows, and that problem is, well, number one, of course, there just are only so many of them, but that's not a real big problem for most of us. The second problem is that Windows itself is not consistent, and Microsoft itself is not consistent, and Windows programs aren't consistent, so that sometimes some program will decide to assign a Control-Alt-Shortcut key to some function within that program that you actually want to use. And at the same time, you might have unknowingly assigned a Control-Alt-Shortcut key to launch some program in Windows. Now remember, if you've done that, that will always take priority over some internal shortcut key to a program. For instance, Microsoft, which I say is not at all consistent about this sort of thing, in Office 2000 and in Word, and this has been the case for a few versions now, Control-Alt-1-2-3 are the program keys within Word you can use if you want to make a paragraph a certain heading level in an outline. Now, you may not do this too often, but I use this as an example. There are actually other examples that are probably better. Once, if you ever wanted to do that, and if you had assigned Control-Alt-1 to some program launch function or some website launch function or some folder or file that you wanted to get to quickly, you couldn't do that anymore. You wouldn't be able to use that Word function, at least not with the key. Now, there's ways around that. You can assign that within Word, and you can just use the menus or something, but I'm saying that there's possibilities here for these keys to conflict. And there is perhaps a certain insufficiency of shortcut keys that you can create. If you really like shortcut keys, you may tend to run out. Well, there's a solution to that, too. Enter WinKey, the free program by Kopernik Technologies, the people who made Kopernik, a web search tool that a lot of us like. WinKey is also provided by them, and this one is totally free. What it lets you do is to assign all manner of shortcut keys that start with the Windows key, the Start menu key. Now, Windows comes with some of those, and they aren't as well known as the others, so I'm going to kind of list some of the ones that are built into Windows that you cannot change with any tool, including WinKey. So, for instance, I've already mentioned Windows key M or Windows key D will get you to the desktop and clear out anything that might be in the way. Windows key F is really handy. It launches the Find Files dialog. Windows key R launches the Run dialog. Windows key Break opens up the System Properties dialog. If like me, you don't know which one the Break key is, you know you have the Page Up and Page Down key. If you go above that, so the little row of three keys above that one, so it's the far right of that row, that's the Break key. In addition to all this, Windows key F1 opens up Windows Help. Windows key E opens up Windows Explorer. That's the one I was going to mention earlier and now did. Windows key Tab puts you on the taskbar, so you can arrow across it and hit Enter to open up programs on the off the taskbar, kind of like doing Alt-Tab, except less efficient. So those are the standard keys that come with Windows. You can't adjust those. Everything else is fair game. Now, with WinKey, and by the way, this is totally separate from anything that Shortcuts Map shows you. You will not see Windows key shortcuts in Shortcuts Map, and you won't see standard Windows shortcuts in WinKey. Completely different system. You don't have access to shortcuts keys for all the punctuation marks. However, you have Windows key shortcuts for all the letters that aren't already used. For all the numbers, you have Control Win Key shortcuts, and you have Shift Win Key shortcuts for letters, numbers, and all this. So you have just quite a number of combinations. Win Key itself comes with some, which you might like. It comes with one for dial-up networking, comes with one for, I believe, the printers folder, comes with one. Windows key 1 takes you to your C drive. Windows key 2 takes you to your D drive, which for most of us is a CD-ROM drive, and some others. It also comes with a task manager, which I didn't find very helpful. Windows WinKey F9 opens up the WinKey interface. You see, ordinarily, when it runs, WinKey just kind of sits there in the task tray, and I don't think it has to do that, actually. You can uncheck that option, and it'll still be there. It runs on startup so that you have access to all the different shortcut keys. I find it to be an extremely handy program. And I'm going to show you some of the neat things you can do, because there are some things you can do with WinKey shortcuts that you can't do as easily with standard Windows shortcuts. I'm back in JAWS, and I have WinKey open right now. Again, a very simple interface. When you come into WinKey, you first have the list, the option to look at the standard shortcut keys, and then you have a list of all the keys that are assigned already, not including the ones that are hardwired, the ones that you can change, in other words, are listed here. So, as I arrow down...
Standard shortcuts. Windows key left, minimize active window.
That's one that comes with WinKeys. You can WinKey left, minimize active window. And there's a few other ones that come with it that I never use, so I sort of forgot about them.
Windows key up, maximize active window. Windows key down. Windows key 1, C. Backslash.
There's the C drive. So these are the ones that are already there, and you can look through the list and see what comes with the program, and then as you add shortcut keys, you can see what's in that list. If I want to add one,
add dot dot button.
I tab, and I hit spacebar now.
Shortcut properties, edit combo.
Alright, it's kind of a mixed message here. One of the advantages and disadvantages of WinKey is that you don't have to have a shortcut already in place. You can make a WinKey shortcut to anything anywhere on your computer as long as it's workable, or to any web page. And I'll show you the drawback with that in a minute. It's sometimes a little bit hard to get the path in there. So let's use an example here. Let's say I want to create a single key WinKey shortcut to the ACB radio site. All I have to do is type it in here, or if I had gone to the Internet Explorer, I could grab it from the address bar, copy it, and then paste it here. I don't have that, so let me turn key echo on for you real quick.
Characters.
There. All right, now.
HTTP colon slash slash W theory A C D R A D I O theory O R G.
All right, so now I have that in the properties. Tab.
Tab, shortcut key.
Now I have to come up with a shortcut key. This is a combo box, so if I know what I want, I can just hit the key, or I can arrow through a list of all the possibilities. The nice thing about having all this power is you can actually make a system, which I haven't done very well personally, and you could have, for example, your single win key letter shortcuts start certain kinds of programs or short programs, your shift win key shortcuts start web pages, your control win key shortcuts launch files or folders, however you want to do it. You have some possibilities based on the kind of win key shortcut that you start with. I'm going to use Shift A here because just that makes current sense, and I don't happen to have it assigned to anything else. So I'm just going to hit a capital A.
A, Windows key, Shift A.
That now is going to launch ACB radio when I hit it, provided that WinKey is installed on my system. Everything else on here,
tab, parameters,
I don't
edit.
Need to have. This is if it was a program that had some command line parameters, I could put them in here.
Tab, start in, edit.
If I cared what folder I was working in, I could put that there.
Tab, run. Combo box, normal window.
And this is good. This is, again, the normal versus maximized business. This is going to launch, of course, Internet Explorer, and I'm going to make this maximized.
Maximized.
Just because it's a good idea.
Tab, OK button.
And we're done.
Enter, WinKey, Copernic Technologies in, add, dot button.
Now I'm back on the add button, but I have added the ACB radio shortcut. Now, as I say, a drawback here is that you have to be able to get the full path of the program in that you want to use. Here's something you can do with WinKey and you can't do with standard Windows shortcuts. You can set up a hotkey to launch a control panel applet. Control panel is full of all kinds of neat little applets to help manage your computer. Add, remove hardware, add new hardware, add, remove software, desktop, display. There are a lot of them. You're familiar with most of the list. Of course, it isn't all that hard to get there just by going into the control panel, but hey, this is a computer. I want to take control of it, so I want to make a shortcut key so I can launch one of my most often used control panel applets, that being add remove programs with one keystroke. Now, control panel programs are little programs located in the C Windows system folder that end with .cpl. I'm not going to bother browsing, though. I'm going to simply do a find by hitting Windows key F, typing *.cpl and hitting enter. I won't bother to do that online. I'll have that done and we'll go from there to the list that I've come up with. So I have a list of 22 control panel applets that I've found. When you look through the list, most of the time it's pretty clear what they are. So for example, I'll down arrow past the first one, which is the one we're actually going to use.
Desk.cpl.
So desk.cpl is probably going to be desktop.
Init.cpl.
This next one is probably the internet settings.
Int.cpl.
Don't know exactly. What's this? Spell it out.
Int.period. Intl. Period.
Intl. It's hard to say what that is for sure. I could figure it out.
Joy.cpl.
There's joystick.
Main.cpl.
There's
main. Period. Size.cpl. Size. MMSYS. Period.
Multimedia. So mostly you can figure out what these are by looking at them. You can't always absolutely tell, but you can usually get it. I want to go back to the top one.
Not selected AppWiz CPL.
AppWiz, that, as I decided from deduction a while back, is the add remove programs applet, and that is what it is.
Desk CPL, AppWiz CPL.
Let's make sure it's selected. Now I have to get the entire path of this item into WinKey in order to add it. The simplest way to do that, I found, was to download and install a little program called ClipName. It's available from www.jfwlite.com/ClipName, ClipName.zip. What this does when you install it is it puts an extra couple items into your shortcut menu whenever you point to an item with a list like this find list or in Windows Explorer or my computer. You can either copy the short name of a program, or copy the name. When you copy the name, you've copied the entire path. So this can sometimes come in rather handy, and this is one of those times. Now that appwiz.cpl is highlighted, I'm going to go to the shortcut menu.
Open with dot dot.
Have several choices. You can't just hit the letter C. You'll do the wrong thing here. You have to arrow down.
Open. Add to zip. Add to app. Copy short. Antiviral toolkit. Copy name.
Now, copy name is what I want. That's added by this clip name program when I installed it. I hit enter.
22 files.
And the name, the whole path for appwiz.cpl has now been copied. I want to go back to WinKey. So let's Alt-Tab over there.
WinKey.
Copernic. There we go.
Copernic.
And I want to see where I am.
Remove button. Add.
I'm still on the Add button. Very good. I'm going to hit Spacebar.
Shortcut properties. Edit combo.
Now, this is where I paste the path to appwiz.cpl that I haven't had to learn or anything. All I had to do was use that clip name program to copy it. Let's see what I have here.
Colon C. C colon Max W.
Yep, looks pretty good. I'm not going to bother reading it. The whole thing is clearly there.
Shortcut key. Combo box.
Now it's time to assign a shortcut key. One kind of unnerving fact about this program is it doesn't confirm. If you replace a key with that's replaceable, you can't replace the ones, like I say, that are hardwired, but one of the ones you've created or that the program came with, you can replace, and if you do, you don't get any confirmation of this fact, so keep that in mind.
Shortcut properties.
I want to use WinKey Z to start this program, otherwise known as
Windows Key Z.
There we go. Windows Key Z in the U.S. That's all there is to it. So if I decide that I want to run it maximize, which I do.
Parameters. Edit.
I don't have any parameters.
Start in. Edit. Run. Combo box. Normal window. Maximized.
I want this maximized. And I can hit enter and I have it done.
Warning. Yes button.
And the program is setting out to disprove what I said a moment ago. When you override a shortcut that has to do with a web page, you don't get any confirmation. But in this case, actually I have something already set for Windows Key Z, and now, since that's a system program that the WinKey program can locate, it will prompt me if I want to overwrite that one. I do, so I just hit enter, and I have overwritten that with what I want, which is now my control panel icon. Let's do it. Let's show you what this is like, because never before probably have you gone to add remove software with one keystroke. You will now, because here we go.
Add remove programs properties dialog. Install and install page. Install dot dot button.
Here we are, and I can tab once.
The following software.
And I'm right on the list of my installed software, ready to get rid of stuff that I've installed. Not exactly world peace, but it's neat, and I've shown you this example for a couple of reasons. You can apply what I've shown you to all kinds of aspects, whether it be programs, folders, web pages, and just as sort of a side benefit, you now know how to set up a shortcut key with WinKey to control panel icons, which you didn't have the ability to do before. Let me show you the rest of the WinKey interface really quickly. I had to leave here, so let's come back to WinKey.
WinKey, Copernic Technologies in WinKey, Copernic Tech.
Quiet.
List view, graphic 5.
There's my list.
Add, dot, dot button.
We've tab once. We've seen the add button.
Remove button.
You can remove a shortcut.
Properties button.
You look at the shortcut properties if you have one highlighted.
List view, graphic 5 button. Add, dot, dot, remove button, properties
and
button.
And that's back where we are. There is a menu bar for this program. There are a few options that you can set up. Not many.
File.
We'll now look at the menus. File menu.
Options. Help.
That's all there
options.
Are.
Show taskbar icon checked.
And the options, you want to have the icon show on the taskbar.
Enable Windows keys checked.
If you don't have Windows keys enabled, it doesn't do you any good.
Show taskbar icon checked.
That's it.
Menu. Add. Dot, dot, file. Remove. Properties. Unload. Exit.
And that's the options in the file menu. You can unload it. Exit just means to close the interface so that you're not having it on the taskbar as an open program, but it's there working in the background. And the other options are pretty self-explanatory. A couple of final points before I review all the web pages that the software we've talked about has come from. One interesting distinction between regular Windows key shortcuts and WinKey shortcuts is that one of the purposes for Windows key shortcuts in most cases is that you can use that shortcut to get back to an open program. So if you have, 7, 10 things open, you can Alt-Tab and eventually get there, or in many cases, you can hit the shortcut that you have that's a regular Windows shortcut. So, for instance, if I'm somewhere else right now, I use Eudora as my email program. I don't have to Alt-Tab to get there. I'm just going to hit Control-Alt-E.
No recipient.
Which is my shortcut key for Eudora, and I end up actually in a blank message that I've pasted a couple of these web pages in to tell you about. So that's one kind of easy thing you can do with most of the time. Not always. Doesn't work with Microsoft Word, for instance, and doesn't work with Windows Explorer because you wouldn't want it to, because many times you want to run more than one occurrence of that. But in many cases, you can use the Windows shortcut to get back to an open program quickly. You can't do that with a Win key shortcut. To summarize and make a small correction, here are the programs we've talked about. Shortcuts Map is free, and that's the correction, but it really is cardware, which means the program would like you to send him a postcard if you use it. He's located in the People's Republic of China. The address for Shortcuts Map is www.zealsoftstudio.com. That's zealsoftstudio.com/shortcuts. The other two programs I've mentioned you can get from the JFW Lite homepage with very straightforward URLs. You can download WinKey at www.jfwlite, that's jfwlite.com/winkey.exe, that's winkey.exe, and in case you want it, clip name, as I mentioned before, is www.jfwlite.com/clipname.zip.